The Bhagavad Gita is not a story book. So we are on the 18th chapter. So we don't say, okay, 18th chapter, khatam, Bhagavad Gita is done. It's not like Harry Potter, you know, where you have read it one time, you read all the six volumes, you watch the movie, and the movie you see the broomstick, the guy flying around on the broomstick for half an hour, and it's over. It's not like that. The Bhagavad Gita is not a story about something. It's not a story about Arjuna and Krishna and how they met and what happened on the battlefield. And Arjuna had this problem, and then there this came savior called Krishna, and he gave him the right knowledge, and Arjuna's problem was solved. Very good. So we clap. Wow, kya badhiya, you know. So beautiful this text is. That's not the purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita talks about me. Talks about me, and the more, and we never get tired about hearing about ourselves, right? Do we ever get tired? Oh, a person comes and prays, oh, you are the most wonderful. Ah, we get more happy. Okay, tell me more. So we never get tired knowing about ourselves. We never get tired hearing about ourselves. We never get tired talking about ourselves. You know what I did yesterday? You know what I have done? You know what I have achieved? So Bhagavad Gita tells me more about myself. And so the more you study, the more you come to know who you are. And we always think of ourselves as being this limited human being, but the Upanishads tell us that you are more than that. You are that infinite self, the Om, the consciousness. And so the Bhagavad Gita, through its message, takes us inwards. It's not for learning something outside. It's not teaching Arjuna how to fight the war. Arjuna already knew that. He's not teaching him how to deal with his enemies. Arjuna already knew that. The Bhagavad Gita is teaching Arjuna how to overcome his inner confusion, his inner delusion, his instability, his wrong understanding. And we all have the same disease. We all suffer from the Arjuna disease of confusion, where I don't know what my goal is. I don't know what my purpose in life is when we are faced with obstacles or problems. And he was faced with a problem in the battlefield, but our problem could be at home, you know, dealing with my spouse or my children, or at work, you know, with my boss, with my co-workers, with my friends, with my relationships, dealing with the political situation. You know, everybody's dealing with so many changes. And how to deal effectively with problems is answered very beautifully in this Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna covers all aspects of spiritual study. Whatever you may wish to know is in here. Any question you have, any problem you have, the answer is in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, want to know about Karma Yoga, path of service? You want to know the path of love, path of knowledge, path of meditation? What are the three gunas I work under, sattva, rajas, and tamas? How to evolve from tamas? Everything is covered so beautifully. So Bhagavad Gita needs to be studied again and again. And that's why we are also planning, when we finish the 18th chapter, to start first chapter again. Because I'm sure we have all forgotten, at least I have, what I spoke in the first chapter. You know, that was more than 10 years ago. So the more we revise it, in fact, Swami Ishwarananda ji said, he said he has taught the Bhagavad Gita himself to at least 7 different groups. He has taught the entire 18 chapters. He has taught to us. He has taught to PRC. He has taught in LA. He has taught in Mumbai. Everywhere he has done the entire 18 chapters. And he says, every time I teach the Bhagavad Gita, I get something new out of it. Because this Mother Gita is full of pearls, full of wisdom. And every time you dive deep into her, into this ocean of love, you get more wealth, you get more pearls, you get more jewels, more wisdom. So that's why whatever we discuss here should not only end with here, but I would request each and every one of you to go home and reread these verses. Most of you have that, the commentary of Swami Chinmayananda. If not, you should get it in the office, because our teachings are based on his commentary, and he, in my opinion, is the most clear, not because he's my guru or anything, but I have read at least 7 or 8 different commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, not in detail, but I have read them. And most of them are confined to one aspect or the other. Swami Chinmayananda is the one, A, it's very modern, and B, he deals with each verse as it should be dealt with. Not only from bhakti aspect or not only from service aspect, which different teachers have done, but he takes each verse on its merit. And his teachings are based on Bhagwan Shankaracharya Ji's Bhashya. Shankaracharya Ji was the great teacher of the 7th century who re-established Vedanta, and he wrote a Bhashya or a commentary not only on the Gita but on all the Upanishads, the major ones. So our commentary that we hear is based on Shankara Bhashya. So the last 3 verses, Bhagwan told us, after talking about meditation, he says that, and after overcoming our negativities, a wise person, how does he or she function in the world? Without joy, without sorrow, without desire, loves all beings. That was verse number 52-54, and reaches my abode, Mad Bhaktim. And then last week we talked about this knowledge of who I am and what am I. I means what God is. When Krishna says I, he means that Supreme Brahman that we studied last week, what exactly it is in essence. And then in the verse number 56, Krishna says, one who then attains this knowledge starts working for me and reaches the highest abode, Shashvatam Padam Avyaya, means the Krishna consciousness, becomes one with the Lord. So we'll continue now. More instructions, because the 18th chapter is kind of, he's moving fast because he's summarizing the entire, all the 17 chapters, which then we will be doing in more detail later on. So in the 17 chapters, what we have covered is being summarized. So today we'll do verse number 57. Chapter 18, verse 57. Chetasa sarva karmani. Mai sanyasya matparaha. Buddhi yogam upashritya. Machitta satatam bhava. Sorry, I wrote that wrong. It's not 55, it's 57. So that is the verse number 57. So chetasa means mentally, with your mind, sarva karmani, all your activities, all activities, whether at work, whether in the temple, whether at home, whether in the playground, all activities, mai sanyasya, dedicate them to me, surrender them to me, Krishna says, and mat paraha, and make me your supreme goal. You know, because we have so many goals. You know, we want this, we want that, we want that. But the supreme goal is that, and that should be our supreme goal. And then he says, take refuge, upashritya buddhi yogam. Buddhi yoga means the yoga of buddhi, the yoga of knowledge. So what is the yoga of knowledge? We'll talk about it, because this is actually a unique term that we only find in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not there in any other scriptures. They talk about karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. But what is buddhi yoga? We'll talk about that. Buddhi yoga, upashritya, taking refuge in buddhi yoga. Mat chitta satatam bhava, put your mind in me, satatam, all the time. He says, all the time, yes. 24 hours a day, yes. 365 days a year, yes. How can I do that? You know, I have to work, I have to cook. How am I going to 24 hours, 365 days, think about Krishna? So we'll talk about that. So first thing is that he says, mat chitta. No, chetasa. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya. So he says, dedicate all activities to me mentally, not physically. When we say give up all activities for me or to me, people think now I am spiritual, I don't have to work. In fact, God will take care of me. I can just sit, he'll bring me the food, he'll do everything for me. No, that's not it. What we do is we give up, you know, when we become spiritual, now I don't have to work. You may cut down your worldly work, worldly activities, but your spiritual activities have to increase. You cannot cut down your work. But what you have to do is cut down the mental attitude that I am doing it. The mental change has to come. Physically, you continue to work. If you look at all these great Mahatmas, they worked so hard throughout their life. They taught, they traveled. Everybody, look at Tukaram, look at Jesus, he traveled. Look at Buddha, look at Swami Chinmayananda, look at Shankaracharya, he traveled all over the country preaching and teaching. So, but they give up the mental attitude that I am doing it, because that is the problem. When anybody thinks that I am the doer, then the problem comes. Because if I am doing it, then if it is successful, I am happy. If it is unsuccessful, I am miserable. But if you say the Lord is doing it, I am just his instrument, then the success belongs to him, failure belongs to him. I am not the doer, I am just his humble servant. Just as an ambassador working in the foreign country is constantly aware that I am representing the United States in, say, Nigeria or in Britain. So he's all the time aware, all day, that I am an ambassador for the United States, so I have to do what is good for the United States. I have to represent the United States in the best possible light. I have to work for the United States. You know, if there's any controversy, I have to explain it. So you become an ambassador for the Lord. I am working for the Lord, and I'm here as his ambassador. So all the time, this attitude should be there. And but a person who sometimes in this context, some people say, I'm going to give up, you know, these bad habits I have. Like, say, whatever habits I have, maybe, you know, I have this bad habit. I don't, you know, this is maybe I get angry, or maybe I'm jealous, or maybe I'm greedy, or maybe I smoke or drink, or whatever, you know, these habits I have, I give up. You know, or I go, you know, I shop too much, I buy too much, I have too many possessions. So I slowly, as they say, spiritually, I have to give up these things and turn my attention to the Lord. That is good. But what we do is that we may physically give up, but mentally we are still longing for that. That's why Krishna says in the third chapter, he says, Karmendriyani samyamya ya asate manasasmaran. Indriyarthan vimud atma mithyacharasa uchyate. So Krishna says that one who gives up doing activities, thinking that I'm doing it for my spiritual growth, but in the mind you are still hankering, you know, I wish I could get that. I wish, why did I, you know, stop doing that? You know, anything. Some people give up sweets, some people give up, you know, things for their spiritual growth. Or they are fasting, and then whole day they are thinking, you know, why did I start this Ekadashi fast? So in the mind you are thinking about sweets or about jewelry or about clothes or about alcohol or cigarette, whatever you have given up. So that person, Krishna says, is a hypocrite. So he says, give it up mentally and physically. So when I'm progressing spiritually, definitely the mental attachments to objects should be given up. And then physically also one can, self-control can be lived. So that's why Krishna says, all activity, dedicate them to me and make me your supreme goal. Even on the board we have today, the 18th chapter, in a very famous verse, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharnam raja aham tva sarva papebhya moksha ishyami ma shucha. So Krishna says, give up all activities for me, sarva dharman, all dharmas, give it up for me. Dharmas does not mean you stop worshipping Shiva or Jesus or Buddha, but whatever our pursuits are, whatever is fascinating for us, give it up and come to my refuge and I will protect you. So come to again, give it up. What we mean is do not give up physically work, but mentally my fascination for worldly objects should become less. And my fascination for the Lord, for this knowledge, the more you dive into this knowledge, it becomes so captivating. It's such a much joy you get in this, studying this, thinking about it, you know, meditating upon it. And so that this knowledge itself gives you so much joy. So the more you dive deeper into it, the more you enjoy this study. And after a while, you'll find that people who are really into it, that's all they read, that's all they study, because they find that everything else is not important than, you know, sitting and reading the news. I mean, they may just skim a little bit, you know, what's going on, but, you know, we spend so much time in, this Trump and this and his family and his children and his business. The media is on and on about it, and everybody, it's okay, you know about it, but we don't get fascinated by that. You don't get caught up in that. Whatever is going to happen to the U.S., it's going to happen. You and I cannot influence it. There are much bigger powers than ours. So be aware, but I'm here too for my spiritual growth. So do that to me, dedicate it to me, make me the highest goal. And then he says, buddhi yogam. So buddhi yogam means the yoga of discrimination. Now the reason I put this sadhan chatushtaya, this number 1, 2, 3 and then number 4 in the bottom, these four qualities a spiritual seeker must have. This I would request everybody either to write it down or take a picture of it, because these four qualities, sadhan chatushtaya, every spiritual seeker must have it. You must have this. If you don't have it, we must develop it. Because that is required for a spirit. And the fact that we are all here talking about the Bhagavad Gita, that means we do have an interest in our spiritual growth. So the first one is viveka, or discrimination. That is called buddhi yogam. So buddhi yogam means that discrimination means deciding between what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is unreal, what is temporary, what is permanent. So first I have to have the right knowledge. That's why Krishna says buddhi yoga. Get the right knowledge and then develop discrimination. So decide what I should do, what I should not do. And then the second step is detachment. So then you slowly detach from things that are detrimental to my physical, my mental. See, physically we do, you know, we eat healthy. You know, you give up unhealthy foods, you know, give up fatty foods, sodas, you know, caffeine, those things you reduce. But mentally, we should give up, and spiritually, for my spiritual growth, I should detach from things that are not good. People who are taking me away from the spiritual path, people who are giving me wrong ideas, reading wrong kind of books, watching wrong kind of TV programs, you know, on the internet. So we become discriminatory. We choose what we want and we detach from what we don't want. That is vairagya. Now, what will help me in my spiritual journey? So the next one is all three. There are six. Shama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhan. So that's called the Shat Sampatti, or the sixth kind of wealth. That is number three. There are six, but they're all classified as Shat Sampatti, six kind of wealth. And what are the six kind of wealth I should have? I should have Shama, control of the mind. Dama, control of the senses. Uparati means withdraw from what I don't need. Titiksha, forbearance, because on this spiritual path you will have obstacles, you will have problems. And the ability to persist, like, you know, if I have decided I'm going to fast, then I should keep doing it. If I have decided I'm going to get up in the morning and meditate, no matter how cold it is, no matter, I should do that. So forbearance. And people may also be an obstacle. So the ability to overcome obstacles is called titiksha. Then shraddha, or faith, faith in the Lord, faith in the scriptures, faith in the guru, and faith in my abilities. And the last of the Shat Sampatti, Samadhan, or equanimity, where I am balanced in all situations, joy and sorrow. So once you develop these six qualities and you have discrimination and you have detachment, then what happens? Then you develop mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam is a very important quality for a spiritual seeker, and it's translated as intense desire for liberation, not only a desire. See, your and mine, our desire is lukewarm. Theek hai, you know, mil gaya to theek hai. Raah chalte Bhagwan dikh gaye to I'll say, hi Bhagwan, how are you? You know, as I'm walking along, if I see God, I say, hi God, how are you? No, not like that. I have to have him. I have to reach him. I have to get him. I have to know him. And now in this life itself, not for next life or next, not for three lifetimes, you say, I don't think I can get it in this lifetime. Swami Chinmayananda says, that's exactly what you said in the previous lifetime. I don't think I can get it in this lifetime. No, I want it. I have to have it. So develop that intense desire and do not be lukewarm about this, because this is the best thing you can do for yourself. The most important goal that you need is this. So develop an intense desire that I'll die, but if I don't get it, I'll ready to drop my body. Swami Tejomayananda ji says, in this path, even if I have to give up my body, I'm ready because I want that. And look at all the great saints. They didn't get by sitting on their back and saying, you know, it's okay, maybe half an hour in the morning, if I do my puja, it's enough. Hurriedly, you know, we do the aarti in the morning. Okay, God, I'll see you tomorrow. Not like that. He has to become your perfect goal. So they said, but how do we do that? How can I? Impossible to think of God all the time. It's not possible. Now think, I'll give you an example. Say when you are first dating, you know, and the boy and the girl are just beginning to fall in love, and they're really very much thinking about each other and all. Now suppose you have a date on Friday at 5 o'clock, you know, we'll have dinner together and we'll go to the movies. Now this is when you have just started dating. Are you going to put a reminder in your phone, Friday 5 a.m? No, you are not. From Tuesday onward, you will start thinking. No, after marriage is different. After marriage, you will need to put a reminder. Even after putting reminder, she will call you. Hey, you were supposed to be home at 6 o'clock. We were supposed to go to Sharma's house for dinner. Oh God, I forgot. I had put it in my phone. That's different. But when you are dating, you don't need to put reminders. You from Tuesday onward, you start thinking, you know, I'm going to meet her on Friday. What am I going to wear? And how is she going to look? And then where are we going to go for dinner? You're making reservations, which movie? And then your excitement starts building up, and all Friday, you don't need anybody to come and tell you you have a date. So for an ordinary girl or an ordinary boy, when you can have so much fascination just for a simple date, think about the Lord of the universe. You don't need a reminder to think about God. You don't need to put your alarm, okay, this time. Take him with you at all times. Put his picture on your car, have it on your desk, at home. And constantly, whenever you see that picture, it should remind you of God, as we have said so many times. So many beautiful things. When you see somebody very successful, like a beautiful piece of music or poetry or art or some scientist, you know, when I read about these astronomers, how they know about all these stars and, you know, billions of years go, what happened? They are able to tell you. It fascinates me. You know, what human intelligence? Who is that? That is the Lord working. And not only that, but the one who made that billions of years ago, there was the whole universe, they say, was a small little, like a little fruit, small. And from that big bang, all the planets, the star, everything started. What power, what intelligence. So constantly admire that. Constantly put your mind on that. Constantly keep him with you at all times. Think, who is breathing for you? Are you breathing? No, the Lord is breathing. You're asleep at night. Do you say no? Or at work, you don't say, wait a minute now, I need some time now, I have to breathe. No, your breath is going on constantly. Sometimes you do it consciously, but most of the time, You're not even aware who is digesting your food, who is circulating the blood through you, who is giving you the intelligence. Every activity is the Lord is behind that. You and I start thinking, I did so much. I am so great. Have humility. Be grateful to Him. Be grateful to the Lord. And when you, He says, make me your goal and work for me, what does He mean? See me in all beings. See, He does not need any service. Bhagavan doesn't need you to do anything for Him. He is perfect. He is complete. He created this whole universe without our help. What can we do for Him? Nothing. We cannot do anything for Him. All we can do is serve His children, serve His beings. Through the service of the beings, you serve the Lord. That's what they say. Serve me through humans, because I am in everyone. I am in your husband, in your wife, in your child, even in your enemy. I am there in every being. So serve me. That's why we start our pledge. You know, every after in the Bal Vihar, we do the pledge. We stand as one family, bound to each other with love and respect. So I put love and respect there. So we are all one family. That's why they say Vasudeva Kutumbakam. We are all one family. The family of Vasudeva, the family of the Lord. And we are bound to each other with love and respect. So that is very important in all my relationships. There should be love and there should be respect for everybody. My spouse, my children, my neighbor, my co-worker. Love and respect is very important. So what do we mean by love? Love is not just telling mechanically, I love you too. Not like that. But understanding and accepting each other without any preconditions, prejudices, you know, without any conditionings. I accept the person as he or she is, and I totally, my total acceptance without any, you know, inhibitions, without any resentments, and love, for total love and respect. And what is respect? Respect is I accept your view as important as mine. What you say is as important as what I say. We always think my view should prevail. Not, no, everybody is important. You are as important as I am. So love and respect. So have both. You cannot just say, I love this person, I do not respect this person. Or some people I respect, but I do not love. No, I love everybody and I respect everybody. And this should be a constant journey in my life. People say it's very hard. You know, like sometimes it happens. You know, you ask people, why have you, you know, they started meditating or they start reading and they say, last month or so, I haven't been able to meditate, or I haven't been able to read, or I haven't been able to give as much time. Why? You know, I had too much work. My work increased, or my job, I was transferred, and, you know, in a new city, I had to work for, you know, 4 weeks. Or some problem happened, I got ill, and I wasn't able to. And it may happen, you know, we're not saying that, you know, 20, all throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. Sometimes it may be a little difficult, you know, and that, you know, Krishna understands, or the teacher understands, that it may not happen all the time, that same intensity. So the example they give is like a mountain. Suppose now you want to drive up the mountain. They don't have a path straight like that, no, otherwise your car will fall. Is not going to have that power to go. So you go a little, there's a small hill, and then you have to go down and then go up the next hill and then go down and then go horizontal. So for a while it's going upward, but then it may go down and then it turns around and then again it goes up. So the hill is one after the second hill, and as long as your goal is to reach the top of the mountain, you may at times have to go down and go around. And so same way, so in life it may happen. We're not saying that make it as an excuse all the time. But as long as my goal is clear, that I have to progress, I have to go upward towards Him. And at times it may happen that, yeah, for a while maybe I was not able to do as much. But as long as I know that that is my purpose, and as long as my eyes are always fixed on that, then sooner or later you will come back to the path. And so that is called सर्व चेतसा सर कर्माणि मयि सन्न्यस्य मत पराः बुद्धि योगम उपाश्रित्य मत चित्त सततम भव. सो पुट योर माइंड कॉन्स्टेंटली ऑन मी एंड डेवलप दीज क्वालिटीज एंड रिमेंबर मी एंड वर्क फॉर मी मेंटली, नॉट ओनली फिजिकली बट इवन माइंड एंड बॉडी बोथ शुड बी डिवोटेड टू द लॉर्ड. एनी क्वेश्चंस, एनी कॉमेंट्स? Okay, so that's a very good question. So it's like when you're in a storm, you know, your ship is, boat is being tossed from here to there, and then what happens? Suddenly you see a lighthouse shining and you know there is a port here. So then you guide your ship into the port and then you are protected from the storms and your ship is safe, and then once the storm subsides, then you go on your journey. So similarly, so that you're taking refuge in that port, you're taking shelter in that port temporarily because the storm. So similarly, the world will give us problems, but if you take refuge in the Lord, you take shelter in the Lord, then He will protect you from all the problems of the world, all the storms. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत्. ओम शांति शांति शांतिः. हरिः ओम. श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम.